The last time I was here, it was 3 years ago, and it was a surreal moment because I was with Duncan Morrow and Bernadette Devlin, Bernadette McAliskey. I found myself in this very strange situation in which I agreed with everything they said, and it was just after the CSI document had been produced, and I think we had agreed that it was going nowhere, it would turn to dust fairly quickly. And a lot of people thought that even I was being particularly gloomy about that. But here we are 3 years later, and I find myself again with two slightly odd bedfellows, you know, people I wouldn't normally agree with. But listening to both of them this morning, there's nothing so far, you know, which would have me, you know, ranting and railing about what they've said. And again, it's a matter of days since we had whatever the latest manifestation is, together building a united community. And I fully suspect, I mean, you may as well cut to the chase and book me for 3 years' time, because in 3 years' time, I will be back here. And just to make me feel more comfortable and put somebody who's more to the right of me, bring Nigel Farage and Jamie Bryson or someone, just to make me feel easy for a minute. But we're going to be in exactly the same situation. There is going to be another document, another shared future document. I suspect it'll be, you know, the Peppa Pig strategy, where the First and Deputy First Minister will be on the steps of Stormont while a group of children sing peace and harmony around the world, then get to the second verse and go dum-dee-dum-dee-dum, because they have no idea what's going to happen next. Now, in terms, I was thinking of Winston Churchill, earlier his line about the dreary steeples of Fermanagh and South Tyrone bearing witness to the integrity and duration of our differences. None of that's changed. Oddly enough, we add to that almost every single day. Just off the top of my head, the list I wrote was murals, commemoration plots and headstones, painted curbstones, street signs, parades, our own newspapers, pubs, playgrounds, shops, political parties, schools and housing, symbols, statues, nods, winks, football tops, tattoos, shibboleths, languages, our own doctors and undertakers, and of course, flags. Every single opportunity we get to emphasize the difference between us, we take that opportunity. We are probably more polarized now than we have ever been. Certainly more polarized now, I think, than we were in 1998. And what's worse about it, we have chosen on this occasion to polarize ourselves. We voted, we endorsed polarization in the 1998 referendum. We return people to the Assembly with the same old grudges, the same old policies, the same old baggage, and then we express surprise. We feign shock when they continue to do exactly what they've always done. When they continue to finger point and blame, we continue to go, my goodness me, how did that happen? So again, it's no surprise that from that sort of background, you will never be able to build a shared future. And my own instinct is that we have to face a blunt, and for people like yourselves who are in the business, I think, of trying to, you know, erase and blur the interfaces and build a better Northern Ireland, I get bad news in terms of my instinct, and I suspect it's an instinct that's born across Northern Ireland. We do not have a conflict resolution. We are not a post-conflict political society. The best we have, and I sometimes suspect it's maybe the best we're going to get, is conflict stalemate. We've locked ourselves into a system where we're mutual veto and mutual hostility are counterbalanced with each other all the time. And people are afraid to walk away, partly because they think it'll lead to some sort of mutual assured destruction where there's nothing left for them. They stay where they are, not because they want to stay where they are. They stay where they are because they have nowhere else to go. And in terms of the flag protests, why flags matter? But why should flags matter? If you have a peace process, if you have what is supposed to be stability, if you have the end of conflict, if you have the beginning of an era where people are supposed to be able to build together and share together and come together, why suddenly are flags so important? Why does it matter? Why do you go to one part of West Belfast, you will see tricolours. You go to another part of West Belfast, and you will just on the edge of it, you'll see the Union flag and UVF flags. Go to East Belfast, it's coming down. The whole confetti, every lamppost has got a flag of one sort or another. I think they sometimes make them up just for something to do. But there's a flag of some sort. No matter where you go, go to South Armagh, you'll find flags. Go to Derry, you'll find flags. Go to Lurgan, you will, everywhere you go, you will find flags. And we do it because it's about identifying ourselves, our own turf. It's about saying, this is our land, this is our country. No matter what demons may say, this little bit of Northern Ireland is ours. And I'm not sure how we get away from that. Now, I do hear people say, I mean, liberal pluralist do-gooders, however you choose to describe them, who will say things like, but you can't eat a flag. You know, who in some sense is trying to rise above it and say, well, this has nothing to do with us, this is terrible. Yet those same people, most of whom seem to have opted out of politics, and in opting out of politics, have allowed the institutionalization of sectarianism at the center of the system. Most of those pluralists who will tell you, and those liberals and moderates who say they want a better Northern Ireland, when they leave the meeting, when they leave the television studio, when they leave the assembly chamber, they go back to their own areas. They go back to people who they know from their own religious or community background. They do not go back to a shared society. They do not go back to shared housing. And again, when people say about the flags, that's why they matter, because sometimes it's a sense of disdain. You know, it's almost, you look down upon people who say, you know, well, I need a flag to tell me, you know, where I am and who I am. And that's the question you have to ask. Why 15 years after the Belfast Agreement? Why almost a century after the creation of Northern Ireland? Why after a period when everybody is supposed to have bought into the peace and harmony strategy, we constantly return? And if it isn't a flag, as Peter will know, it'll be a parade. If it isn't a parade, it'll be something else. There will always be something else to be added. And because it boils down to one, again, another very simple, brutal, and for many people, a politically unpleasant reality. And that is, you cannot build a shared future when the people who live in that area do not agree on the ultimate destination of the country involved, or the control. So those who believe in Irish unity will continue to believe in Irish unity. They will continue to believe that the constitutional future of Northern Ireland lies, well, actually it lies in Northern Ireland being removed completely and absorbed into some new sovereign, independent Ireland. And the people, and more power to their elbow, they're perfectly entitled to believe that. And the people who believe in retaining the Union and keeping the United Kingdom and the constitutional geographical integrity of the United Kingdom will continue to believe that. There's no meeting point there. You cannot. I mean, some people say, oh, Northern Ireland's like South Africa. It isn't like South Africa. Because in South Africa, they have a very clear, however they may differ on other views of whether it's socioeconomic policy or race or anything else, they all agree on one principle, and that is the shape of South Africa. There's no opinion in South Africa said, oh, it should belong to some other country, or part of it should belong to some other country, or it should have some other relationship. So the peace process they built cannot be compared to the peace process we are trying to build, because you cannot build a process, you cannot build a shared future where you do not agree on the ultimate definition of your country, on the geographical borders of your country, on the philosophy of your country, or in the constitution of your country. And again, that's why flags matter, that's why parades matter, that's why your own turf matters. It matters because, and again, it's the irony of all of this, that we have more parades now, we have more flags now, we have more protests now, we have more issues now, we have more bones of contention now, simply because there's nothing else to do. Because where you cannot create a final solution, where you cannot create a deal which everyone can buy into, politics continues. And if it's not going to continue by violence or terrorism, it will continue by deliberately goading and provoking each other. It will continue by deliberately proving, because they need to prove to each other that they've got the upper hand, that they're still on the right course. Republicans cannot help unionists. You cannot create a deal, because if Republicans make Northern Ireland work, if it seems to be a successful, happy, prosperous, progressive, you know, loving each other state, it completely demolishes their own argument for a united Ireland. It's essential for a brand of republicanism to prove that Northern Ireland is not a stable state. And it's the same with unionism. There's no electoral incentive for unionism to prove that they can work peacefully with Republicans, because in so doing, they too are conceding the fact, well, if you can work with them in a smaller area, surely you could work with them in a bigger area. Surely there's another agenda you could both agree on. And my own view, and I know it's a particularly gloomy philosophy, although, I mean, I worried then that I didn't think it was going to be a peace process in the sense that we hoped it would be. But I think we are actually stuck in this position where the flags issue is not going to go away, where the parades issue is not going to go away, where the identity issue is never going to be resolved. And I'll finish at one point. You cannot, it is not possible, it is not psychologically, physically, politically possible for Sinn Féin and the DUP to create a shared future strategy. It's not possible because they are mutually opposed on every single issue. Not simply socioeconomic, not simply internal, external, international, whatever. They are totally opposed to each other. They hate each other. Let's get away with this. Forget this view that somehow they're doing their best. They despise each other. I was up there for 12 years. They despise each other. There is no love lost between them. There is no respect for them. Put a camera in front of their microphone. They'll do the optics and smile a little bit. Then they go back to their own offices. They don't talk to each other. They don't communicate with each other. I mean, you hear the UUP, SDLP and Alliance say, oh, we weren't consulted. The DUP and Sinn Féin barely consult each other on anything. Everything is brought down to the zero-sum game. Will you accept that? Fair enough, we'll accept that. They don't care about anything else because they don't expect anything to happen. They don't expect the together building a shared future to go anywhere. I don't think they had any intention. It's no coincidence that it appeared a matter of days after the Secretary of State was warning you're going to need funding. And within 6.5 hours of them announcing it, Barack Obama suddenly can say he can come to Belfast, having said 6 months ago it wouldn't be possible to put it on his itinerary. But suddenly they make this lovely, glowing, spanky new announcement, and he's there. And I sometimes think, if they can't do it, if they can't build it, because they hate each other, and it's all about example. You cannot have these people squabbling. Any of you who saw The View the other night, you know, with the five of them, other than, you know, short of putting mud or jelly on the screen and allowing them to scramble down in the dirt, it couldn't have been more voyeuristically horrible. But if they cannot create it because they're not setting an example, it's not going to happen. So maybe we just leave it. Maybe we just say to the Assembly and the Executive, forget about it, and to the government, and to America, and to anyone else who wants to poke their nose into it, just say, let's forget about it. Let's not ask the Assembly or the Executive or the two lead parties to actually create a strategy for a shared future, because it's stupid to ask them. It's impossible for them to create it. If it's going to happen, let it happen. Let it just happen quietly and gently. Don't get the politicians involved. Don't get the Executive involved. Don't get all sorts of busybodies of their own particular agendas. If it's going to happen, it will happen. If people want integrated schools, call it the Field of Dreams option about building it and they will come. If they want shared schools, they will get shared schools. If they want to live together side by side, they will live together side by side. If they want to drink in the same pubs, they will do that. If they want to go to the same playing fields, they will do that. If they want to use the same leisure centres, they will choose to do it. You can never tell people, certainly never legislate and say to them, you must do this. And the question you have to ask, if people are choosing not to do it, if it's not voluntary, if there's no evidence whatsoever that the vast majority of Northern Ireland people actually do want to live together and share together and work together, or even create a political party together for each other, don't imagine it's going to happen by legislation. I just think it's one of those moments, and again, I'm sorry it's gloomy, but I think it's one of those moments that politicians, the Assembly, government, the whole apparatus of the state steps back and says to people, if you want a shared society, if you want a united future, do it yourselves. Do not expect us to do it, because the agenda we have is not the agenda you want. And the 50% of people who have opted out of politics, who have opted out of voting, if they want to create new parties, if they want to say, here's a different agenda, let them do it. But for God's sake, let us just step away and expect the Hill to do it for us. It won't happen.